Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Looking forward to sharing a lesson today entitled Healing of the Soul, Part 3, How to Maintain Peace in Your Soul. And I trust you've been able to be a part of the previous two messages and services in which we brought the first two lessons. And again, those lessons, part one was entitled, Who Are You? And part two last week was Self-Awareness, A Key to a Better Self. And I'll touch on some highlights in just a moment. But thank you for being with us today. Please share this experience with someone. You can text the link from this YouTube Live, or if you're watching on demand, just share it with someone. This is an important message, I believe. It's foundational to our peace of life and joy in the Lord. And again, healing of the soul doesn't suggest that something's wrong with your soul. I'm suggesting that we have to guard our heart. Our key scripture for the series is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Wow, what a powerful statement. Above all else, above trying to, you know, get money and have accolades and, you know, likes on Facebook and all that. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Our key text is from Matthew 16, verse 26, the words of Jesus, New Living Translation. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And the answer is no, there is nothing worth more than your soul and my soul. So again, healing of the soul is a good topic. It's a priority we need to have today. And again, our topic today will address how to maintain peace in your soul. But first of all, let's do a bit of review. Last week, the topic was self-awareness, a key to a better self. And we defined self-awareness as follows. It is the ability to examine yourself and be honest with yourself. Self-awareness is a mindfulness that gives you the ability to recognize and understand yourself. You are capable of observing your thoughts without being your thoughts. That's an insight from Paul Scanlon. And the idea there is you can, as if you were in a stand, you know, watching yourself, observing your thoughts, and you see something coming, you think, you know what? I'm not going to give expression to that thought. I'm aware of that thought, but I won't be that thought, right? Sometimes our thoughts are not good. Sometimes our thoughts are crazy, honestly. Well, observe it. Self-awareness lets you observe it without being it. Going on here, self-awareness is the ability to be aware of motives, actions, inclinations, and the source of your beliefs. It is self-recognition, self-perception, self-monitoring, self-regulation, self-editing, internally auto-correcting, if you will, mindfulness and awakeness. Or woke. Now, the word woke has been ruined. Woke just means aware and awake. It's all it means. So that was the definition of self-awareness we touched on last week. And I pray you will go to the podcast, YouTube channel, and you'll be able to listen to or watch and get caught up in this series. All right. Now, here are some of the highlights from last week in terms of awareness. Five areas in which to be aware. First of all, aware of self. And there are five elements of human life. There's thought, choice, body, feeling, and social context. That's all explained on last week. Second, to be aware of God. In order to know yourself, it is necessary to know the God who made you. Number three, aware of your habits, right? Good habits, bad habits. Habits shape us. Habits control us. Habits grow arms and handle us, okay? So have good habits. Number four, we are aware of influences. Who or what influences you? Decide who has access to you. And of course, good influences are good, bad influences are bad and should be avoided and discarded. And finally, number five, aware of dullness. Know when you need sharpening and more skill. And again, that lesson's available at the podcast at brianhudson.com, newcovenant.org. Listen to it and be blessed by it. We're going to move on into today's lesson, how to maintain peace in your soul. Let me begin by sharing some action words. You know, verbs are action words. And here are some words that we're going to talk about and act on. Stay, think, sell out, get help, let go, and rejoice. Come on, say it. Say, I will stay, think, sell out, get help, let go, and rejoice. All right, let's start. First of all, stay in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 read, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So don't be anxious, don't worry, but in every situation, whatever it might be, by prayer and petition, right, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, a petition is a request. It's a specific request. And so prayer isn't just about saying, Lord, whatever you want from me, I'll receive it. No. Tell God what you want. Be specific about what you're dealing with, right? Specific prayer brings specific answers. And also it's an opportunity to let the anxiety and worry go. You can do two things. You can worry or have faith and pray, one or the other. You can't do both at the same time. You cannot have faith. You can't have faith and worry at the same time. All right. So decide whether you're going to worry or trust God and have faith. Of course, trust God, have faith, pray, and let God's answer rise up in you. So stay in prayer. And then he said this, that, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. So again, guard your heart. Well, one way to guard your heart is through prayer. So the peace of God can manifest in your life through God's presence. Amen. A very powerful point, an important point. So stay in prayer. Number two, think on the right things. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 read, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. Whatever you have learned or received or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. Think, friends, think, brothers and sisters, think, family, on the right things. Because how we think is how we're going to go. So he even suggests to us what to think about. Things that are noble, things that are right and pure and lovely and admirable, things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And then Paul said, and we as leaders and preachers hope to do this, where we want to give you opportunities and give you food for thought, amen, and give you a good reason to think on the right things. He says this, and the peace of God will be with you. Again, we're talking about how to maintain peace in your soul. Well, thinking on the right things will allow the peace of God to rest on you. All right, number three, sell out to truth. Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You know, we're in a world, people sell out for all kinds of reasons. Sell out just to, you know, just to get a name for themselves or make a little bit, a piece of money, or they'll sell out to have a certain relationship or whatever it might be. Listen, people of God, we sell out to truth and to wisdom and instruction and understanding. Amen. So if you're going to sell out, yeah, do sell out, but only to the right things. The Bible gives us very clear guidelines and instructions on how to maintain peace in our souls, right? So by truth. Now, truth is, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible, the Word of God, is truth. So God would have us to be strong with biblical truth and also truth in the world, truth as fact in the world. You know, we came through COVID, we navigated through COVID, and there were truths and untruths about the whole thing. And there are people who are believing lies and not embracing truth, and some people suffered and many died for rejecting what was true in science. See, God's a God of true science as he is a God of the word. So buy the truth and don't sell it. Next, get help when you need it. Say, I will get help. Say it, I will get help when I need it. James 5, verse 16, James wrote, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. There's a saying that goes that where God reveals, he heals. Well, what you reveal can get healed. There is no help for you if you conceal your need, if you don't reach out for help when you need it. Often we know we need help. And sometimes the other problem we have is, in fact, the bigger problem is pride. We're too proud to say to somebody, help me, I need help. And that only prolongs the pain. It prolongs the agony. If we don't confess our fault to the appropriate people and then open ourselves up, then how can God pour in? Now, listen, people of God, we are not islands to ourselves. Even though we should be able to stand and walk in faith, and we do, yet we're in a body. We're in a body. The hand cannot say to the eye, I don't need you. All the hand needs the eye to see where it's going. And the eye needs a hand to pick stuff up. And so, you know, don't make the mistake of not getting help. And then moreover, do not make the mistake of delaying to get help. Because the longer we delay, then the more the problem can build up, right? The things can just continue to simmer and become worse. Someone said, time heals all things. No, time heals some things, but not most things. And so don't delay. Don't waste time. Get help when you need it. Confess your faults. Now, listen, don't tell everybody your faults. Don't put your faults on Facebook. Talk to your pastor. Talk to a qualified person, a friend, a qualified friend. Amen. Sometimes you go to a third party, a professional counselor who can be objective with you. However you have to do it, it's God's way. He says, confess your faults that you may be healed, suggesting that some types of healing don't come without confessing it to somebody else. Amen. Let go of bitterness. We'll spend some time on this one. Let go. Say, I will let go of bitterness. You say, Pastor, I'm not bitter. I'm good. All right, let me ask you a question. Are you disappointed? Oh, yeah, 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 oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Are you painfully disappointed? Oh, yeah, it hurts sometimes. Man, I'm hurt. Disappointment sometimes. Well, look up definition of bitterness. It is, among other things, painful disappointment. Let it just sit there for a minute, okay? Are you bitter? Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Well, if you're disappointed painfully by what somebody did or didn't do, or by your own action or inactions, then that's a reason to acknowledge this scripture. So again, he says here, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. See, grace is always there. Sometimes we come short of it. He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Wow. That's a profound text right there, reminding us that not only are we subject to become bitter, but also there's a possibility that a root of bitterness can then spring up and cause trouble. Now, what happens that caused this to happen? Well, sometimes we find ourselves disappointed painfully with somebody. Oftentimes, it's not because they intended to disappoint us. Sometimes it's that we had the wrong expectations of somebody. And so we had this imagination what somebody should do. They didn't do it. They didn't say it. Now we're disappointed, painfully disappointed. And we let that stew. And what happens is we become, it leads to this sense of bitterness. We think about what they should have done, what they didn't do. And now we're mad at them, mad at God. And we're bitter. And the amazing part is, you know, nothing wrong was actually done. Now, there are cases where people actually do things that are harmful, that are wrong, that they should apologize for, but they don't. Now, you have the option. In fact, the Bible says, if you have aught against your brother, go to him. So there is a place to go to people, to confront people. But let me issue this very, very important distinction and even warning to you, right? Don't confront people about stuff you don't like that wasn't even a sin. Don't confuse what the Bible defines as sin and what really is about people being doing wrong over against, you know, you not liking something. And you not liking it so much until you take offense at it. I'm gonna go confront them about what? They didn't say hi to me this morning. They didn't say that statement correctly. Or they shared an opinion I think is wrong. Well, someone's wrong opinion is not a sin either. So the issue here is not them, it's us. It's you. And now here you are disappointed. Now you're bitter. And so you won't forgive them because you think, well, I have to go confront them before I can forgive them. And now it's a whole mess you've created by having an improper, unreasonable expectation. So whether it is real or imagined, if a root of bitterness springs up, it will cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. What kind of trouble? I don't know. Exactly. I do know that when people are bitter, it projects in different ways, their behavior, their mood, you know, it changes. People do nonverbal types of expressions where, you know, they treat others or you a certain way because of their bitterness, their root has sprung up in them and it's causing trouble for them. But not only that, it can cause trouble for others. And by this, many become defiled. What does that mean? I'm not exactly sure. Doesn't sound good, does it? But it has to go to the fact that what people allow that sets up something bad in them gets exported and sets up something bad in other people. Well, the bottom line is, step one, do not have unreasonable expectations. Don't set yourself up to be disappointed by expecting things you had no right to expect in the first place. Now, if somebody does something wrong, sins against you, the Bible speaks to that. But as I warned you, and I'm warning you here, do not confront people over things you don't like. Your preferences, your likes and dislikes, God has not defended. God won't honor that. Don't make it a basis of confronting people, okay? Please don't do that. But still deal with your root of bitterness. And the key is to forgive. Forgive and forget. Especially when it's nothing that someone else has done. It's all inside of you. Let God help you release it. And again, it could be one of those faults, right? We earlier said that confess your faults. So go to someone you trust and say, you know what? I need prayer. I've become bitter. Don't talk about what you're bitter about. don't bring somebody else up in that discussion. Just say, hey, I need help. I need prayer. I got to release this thing. Pray for me. And then let somebody pray for you and let it go. Let it go. We're talking about how to maintain peace in your soul. Let go of bitterness. Amen. Our final point here is rejoice always. Say, I will rejoice always. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. And again, as Paul said, I'm saying to you, rejoice. The Bible also said, in everything give thanks. Rejoicing is your response to a situation, is you giving God praise, having joy as a choice you make. And Paul said, I do it because I don't get tired of this, because I'm doing it to safeguard your faith. And so do I. I want to safeguard your faith, because if you let circumstances steal your joy, if you allow yourself to become bitter, all the things we have previously said, these are all matters that help us to stay strong in God, stay encouraged in God. We will safeguard our faith when we are doers of the word. Amen. It's that simple. Even though getting there isn't simple always, but the principle is simple. Obey God, follow Christ, be a doer of the word, and your faith will be safeguarded. Amen. I trust you were blessed by this brief message on today. We want to really encourage you that God is faithful, and we know he loves us and he's always showing us mercy, but let's cooperate with him, right? We're laborers together with God. And even though God is great and powerful, he decides to let you make a choice. He decides to give you the options and give you the faith, but let you decide. I've often said that my late mother, would counsel people. Extraordinary counselor and encourager, would help people and encourage them, but then she would always say at the end, now, what are you going to do? I'm asking that question. What are you going to do? I've shared the word. You've seen the scriptures. You got a grasp of this. I know you do. Now, what are you going to do with it? Because we want to safeguard our souls.